Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Wrestling Chat Radio. Well, good afternoon, everyone, and welcome once again to another edition of WrestleChat Radio's weekly wrap-up. Marcus Kane coming to you live from the SBTV studios right here in New York, and for the next hour, we will be discussing the world of professional wrestling at 347-215-8486. 347-215-8486, if you'd like to get in on our conversation. Of course, as always, you can hit us up in the chat room, and we'll take your questions, your comments, and your opinions there as well. Quite a bit to get to this week, folks. We have, of course, Tony Khan's special announcement to deal with. We have some rumors that a NXT star who was scheduled to make his debut may have his debut pushed back considerably, if at all. And the story we're going to start with is WrestleMania plans still may not be completely solidified. That's right. You know, we had said this is going to be an interesting situation, and we're going to see how Cody Rhodes works out after the Sami Zayn storyline begins to fade a little bit. Can they transfer the heat that Roman Reigns had in his feud with Sami Zayn into heat with Cody Rhodes? And even though it was in Canada, obviously, the WWE was very concerned that there were a lot of Sammy chants during Cody Rhodes' promo, to the point where they had Paul Heyman interrupt him early so that there wouldn't be a lot of obvious chants on TV for Sami Zayn. We kind of knew this was going to happen. You see, if you really had the ending to this story solidified, I think you should have built up some animosity between Cody Rhodes and Roman Reigns while you were in the middle of building up Sami Zayn and Roman Reigns' animosity as well. You can do two things at once. Okay, you can walk and chew bubblegum at the same time. You should have started building up that animosity, because coming to a dead stop at the bottom of a hill and then trying to climb the hill probably isn't the answer, and that's sort of what you did. And fans are very much feeling like this Roman Reigns storyline with Sami Zayn isn't over. And unfortunately, it probably is. However, the WWE, from what I'm hearing, is taking into consideration that perhaps the Cody Rhodes match at WrestleMania isn't the very best main event they could put on. And maybe, just maybe, there's still some plans in the works to try to get something else happening. Now, I don't know what those plans would be. I mean, the only thing I could think of is you could stall the storyline with Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn by saying that Kevin Owens absolutely does not forgive Sami Zayn, period, end of conversation. He does not want to team with him. He does not want to take on the Usos with him at WrestleMania. Jey Uso and Sami Zayn are still fairly cool. And continue that storyline into possibly a three-way dance at WrestleMania. We all know that Sami Zayn's not winning that either, but at least then you'd have a more conclusive ending to the story. And then perhaps have Jey Uso turn on Sami at WrestleMania, costing him the match. Maybe Cody wins anyway. Regardless of what ends up happening, Sami doesn't win. And Kevin Owens then maybe softens on his stance that he doesn't want anything to do with Sami Zayn anymore. It's one option. Now, the WWE is kind of putting their feelers out, and they're going to wait and see if there's some kind of reaction outside of Canada. We'll see what happens when Cody Rhodes hits the ring, because if Cody Rhodes hits the ring to Sami chants again, you got a problem. And the problem was the story was too good to squander on the Elimination Chamber. That was the problem. And I get it. Nobody wanted this to be the WrestleMania match because, wow, what a bummer, right? what a bummer ending to WrestleMania. Sammy doesn't win. There's no big feel-good moment at the end of WrestleMania. They didn't want that. But in retrospect, it still was a bigger match. Still was a bigger match. Now, I still say you could have added Cody to it, and they still may. I still say you could have done something at the Elimination Chamber that would have just added Sami Zayn to the mix at WrestleMania. Kevin Owens still has a possibility to fight solo at WrestleMania. So Kevin Owens isn't out of the mix. I had some people say, well, what happens to Kevin then? He has no WrestleMania moment? No, he fights solo. Solo doesn't have anything to do at WrestleMania that I know of, so that would be a really good match. In the meantime, you would have Sammy entered into the three-way. The Usos could defend their title against somebody else. There's other teams. But they could still be, they could defend their title on night one, so night two they're out with Roman, right? There is options. And the WWE may be taking that into advisement. Now, I don't know. Again, I called this match. I don't think Sammy should have won the match. But you could very easily have done a disqualification victory for Sami Zayn. You could easily have had the referee catch Jey Uso, or Jimmy Uso, I should say, and disqualify him. Then Sami Zayn would have a perfect right to say, listen, I don't feel I got my title shot. Cody Rhodes then could have addressed the situation too, look like a big hero, right? Cody Rhodes could look like a big hero. You want Cody Rhodes to be the big hero? Sami Zayn says, well, I got cheated out of my title shot as far as I'm concerned, and I don't know what's next for me because they purposely got themselves disqualified. Cody Rhodes could have came out and said Sami Zayn was ripped off. I don't like to see that happen to anybody. Let's do a three-way at WrestleMania with no DQ. He would have got a huge, gigantic hero's pop for that. Roman Reigns could have been livid about it and Paul Heyman saying, no, 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 no. But, you know, the powers that be say, yeah, that's a great idea. Cody had a great idea. It makes Cody look fantastic. It gives the fans Sammy in the main event at WrestleMania, which they wanted. And the outcome's not going to be any different than you got planned for WrestleMania anyway, whether Cody or Roman win. You could still do it. But you would have given the fans what they wanted. I would strongly advise the WWE to consider that. The problem is you no longer can have Sami Zayn say he didn't get a shot. He got a shot, he lost. Now, yes, there was interference. Yes, there was all kinds of things going on, but at the end of the day, he got pinned. If you were going to do that, I don't think you have Sami pinned. So you got a little more work to do if you're going to do that, but I feel possible, Mike. Depends on what the WWE sees when they get out of Canada and they start trying to promote Cody and Roman. If those Sami chants continue, I think all bets are off.
I think all bets are off as well, and that's the thing. And I mean, they may have written themselves into this particular corner where they have to do this. They have to add Sami to that match. Yes. He's not going to win. We get that. But, I mean, they tend to write themselves in the corners, and this could be a corner they've written themselves into.
Yeah, I don't think they had any intention. To be fair to the WWE, they had no intention of putting Sammy in the main event of WrestleMania. They said so from the very beginning, and their intent was always Cody Rhodes, Roman Reigns, one-on-one. However, they should have realized going into the Elimination Chamber with the amount of momentum. Triple H himself said this feels like WrestleMania. They should have realized with that amount of momentum, maybe we should call an audible here at the Elimination Chamber. Have the referee go down. Have Jimmy Uso go in. Cheat. Make it look like Sammy's going to lose, but then the second referee catches him and disqualifies him. Sami Zayn wins in his home country by disqualification. Roman Reigns is somewhat humiliated that he wasn't able to finish off Sami Zayn on his own, but then declares, I'm done with him, it doesn't matter. He had a shot, he didn't win. And then Cody Rhodes, of course, being the guy who says that's a ripoff, Sami Zayn was totally robbed. I don't like to see that happen to anybody. I wouldn't want it to happen to me. So I got no problem adding Sami Zayn to this match. And if Roman has a set of balls, he won't have any problem adding Sami Zayn to the match. You would have had a huge pop for Cody Rhodes. This is a win-win. Cody Rhodes becomes even more popular because he's sticking up for Sami Zayn and giving him the opportunity. Roman gets more heat for trying to fight that opportunity off, and Sami still is the underdog favorite. Now, do you run the risk that Sami's going to get cheered more than Cody in that match? Yeah. But if you had that shock ending of Jey Uso turning on him and everything, I think the fans would be like, whatever. It's, you know, there's a big storyline coming for Sami, so we'll accept that. So we'll see what happens, Todd. It could be an interesting WrestleMania after all. I don't think it's written in stone yet.
Well, you're absolutely right there. Like you said, this whole thing with the Sami Zayn, Roman Reigns, and the Cody Rhodes thing, I'd be interested in seeing this as well. Maybe we'll probably see the belt split up.
Yeah, because listen, you still got this long-term storyline you can do with Kevin Owens stubbornly saying, I want nothing to do with Sami Zayn. Sami Zayn offered to help him destroy the bloodline, and he said, no. Go have your friend Jay do it. So there's your storyline. I mean, what's he going to do? Turn around in a week and say, I've changed my mind. A couple of weeks, I've changed my mind. Let it go through. I mean, I think that would be the best storyline. Let it go through till after WrestleMania. With Kevin Owens trying to destroy the bloodline on his own, Sami Zayn kind of trying to, you know, work out something that he's in the main event with Cody Rhodes. Jey Uso still sort of being, you know, on Sami's side to a certain extent. With Roman Reigns saying you need to make some hard choices on whose side you're going to be on here. And then at some point during WrestleMania, night two, Jey Uso has the opportunity to help Sami. Instead, he super kicks him or whatever. That's it. He's made his choice. And then Sami has no friends. And that would be a good time then for Kevin Owens to come back into the mix and pick up the pieces, and you would have a pretty good feud with the Usos, Mike. I think that's the best storyline solution right now.
I think it's the best. Like I said, this is a storyline solution that basically they backed into. All right, they would have backed into.
Yep.
They would have written themselves into this particular corner, and they backed into it. And sometimes it's better to be lucky than good. This would be a lucky thing right here where they basically. We basically screwed the pooch at Elimination Chamber, you know, and you still have this thing. And the long-term thing with Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn is, well, you put them together and, well, who's going to turn on who first? It's happened before, right? But it's
that's down the road. But that'll be down the road maybe 6-8 months. I mean, your logical progression to this storyline, if I was the writer, would be Sami Zayn says, I want one more shot. Roman Reigns says, absolutely not. You were pinned, whatever. Cody Rhodes can still be the person to say, let's take a look at this. Is that how a real champion acts? Is that how a real champion defends his title? I got no problem adding Sami Zayn to this match. Roman, do you have a problem adding Sami Zayn to this match? Or are you the fighting champion you claim to be, or are you a coward? Sami Zayn gets added to the match. In the meantime, let Kevin Owens fight solo at WrestleMania, and obviously I would have Jey Uso turn on Sami Zayn at WrestleMania during the three-way match when it looked like maybe Cody's outside the ring, Roman's sort of ready to finish Sami Zayn off, but Sami's maybe starting to mount a little bit of a comeback, and Jimmy Uso jumps in or something with the referee down, makes it look like, oh, Jay's going to come in to offset Jimmy, and instead they both super kick him. He goes down for the 1-2, but maybe Cody makes the save at the last minute. Finish off the match from there with obviously Sami Zayn getting his ass beat on the outside of the ring by the Usos, and whatever's going to happen, happens. Whether Roman wins or Cody wins. It's irrelevant because now you have, obviously, the Usos on the same page, and Kevin Owens then the next night or, you know, whatever it's going to be, can soften his position on Sami Zayn and say, look, you proved everything you needed to prove to me. Everybody makes mistakes. Let's do this. I tried to, you know, do it by myself. You're right, I can't. You tried to do it by yourself. You're not going to be able to. Together we can. Just like you said. And then you have a big event. Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens versus the Usos. It would seem to write itself. So, I that would be my go-to in this storyline. I don't think they're going to do it, but I will say this. If they start hitting other areas of the United States and not Canada, where Sami Zayn chants are clearly audible when Cody Rhodes is trying to cut a promo, they're going to have to think about it. They're going to have to think about it. Anyway, let's talk a little bit about Tony Khan, whose big announcement did lead, in fact, to a little bit over a million viewers on Wednesday night. And his big announcement was that they're going to have another show, yet another show, and this one's going to be called AEW All Access, and it's going to air right after Dynamite Wednesday night. Guess it's going to be a supposedly non-scripted show that's going to delve into the lives of Adam Cole and Britt Baker and Sammy Guevara and Taya and I guess Tony Khan and some other people. Look, here's the situation. Tony Khan cannot, in one side of his mouth, say the WWE is not what they used to be. They're not doing the right things. They're this, they're that, they're the other thing. We're the best wrestling federation. And then just copy every single thing the WWE has ever done. WWE started this with the reality TV thing. You want to do it again, fine, but then you can't complain. You can't say, the Beatles were the most overrated group in the world when you're playing in a Beatles cover band. And that's sort of what Tony Khan's doing. He's sort of playing in a WWE cover band. He just, all old WWE talent, come over here. All WWE ideas, we'll take them. And then when he's asked about the WWE, they're antiquated and they're not, up with the times and they don't know what they're doing. Well, you're copying them. So if you're going to copy them, lock, stock, and barrel, I suggest you quit talking about them in a negative light because it makes you look kind of dumb. Now, there have been shots fired because apparently some of the mentions that happened, I guess, on Elimination Chamber and SmackDown, there were some shots fired saying that Tony Khan is a cokehead, basically, by calling him Snowman, I guess. I don't know anything about that, so I'm not going to comment on it. I do know this. I've seen Tony Khan with his eyes bugging out of his head, and I said to myself, is this normal? I don't know. Maybe it is for him. But he does look like he's tweaking sometimes. Anyway, he was voted Booker of the Year. You can't make this up. You just can't make this up. How are you voted Booker of the Year when the hottest storyline ever booked in the WWE in the past 10 years has happened this year with the Bloodline? What is it that Tony Khan booked that was so brilliant? I don't, his company was imploding in front of him this year. He had CM Punk implode at the scrum. He had to suspend his executives and parts of his actual roster. It's unclear whether he's even going to hang on to Kenny Omega because Omega's contract's up and WWE's made him a pretty sweet offer from what I hear. I don't know. I don't know what's going on. I know that AEW has managed to get its, what I would call its core fan base, which is the people who are going to stick by him. And the people who just like that style of wrestling, and that's what they like. And that's around a million people. Now, that million people don't like it enough to watch their second show. One is enough. But they do like it enough to at least break a million on their main show. I don't know if the third show is going to – I don't know what that's going to do. I honestly don't know what that's going to do. Is anybody interested in the private lives of Adam Cole and Britt Baker? I'm not. And, of course, Tony Khan's going to stick himself in there, and I'm going to be in it. I guess we'll wait and see, folks. I do just want to remind people that if you take both of the current AEW shows airing on a major network and combine the ratings, it does not equal SmackDown's ratings. It does not equal one show from the WWE. It does not equal SmackDown's ratings. So we have to understand that, and we have to realize that whatever Tony Khan is doing is appealing to a core group of people, but it's not appealing to a wide group of wrestling fans. If you have that many wrestling fans out there, if there are people who kind of, if you combine Raw and SmackDown, you're getting pretty close to 4 million. If there are people that will watch them, 2 million, 2.5 million range, that means half of the people who are watching WWE have no interest in watching your federation. And I would suggest that Tony Khan caused that by constantly talking ill of the WWE and their way they do things, and sometimes even their fans. And I think a lot of WWE fans who were willing to watch AEW said, okay, well, if that's the way he feels, screw him. I think Tony Khan did in himself to a certain extent, Mike, and I don't know. What do you think about this new show?
I think so, too. And look, here's the deal. The reason why Miz and Mrs. works is because, one, Miz has a reputation. You know, he's a really good wrestler and he does his job well, but he came from that thing and he knows what it takes to make that type of show successful. You know, whereas Adam Cole and Britt Baker, well, Adam Cole is not. He was a wrestler first. You know, yeah, he's a decent enough actor, but he's a wrestler first, and basically we know what his gimmick is. He's Shawn Michaels or whatever, but he was a wrestler first. So I'm not sure just that type. And he's they're young. Miz and Maurice are what, in their 40s? They're what, in their late 30s?
Early
40s, and Adam Cole and what you call it, in what, early 30s, and so is Ty Mello and Sammy Guevara. So I mean, that's the deal. These people, they're now, if they would do it with somebody like Chris Jericho, you know,
right,
a guy who everybody knows, I could buy.
Even if they were to do it with Moxley and Renee Young, I think some people would be interested. I think you're caught on to something there. You know, that's true. You have people who that show could work for. I would be much more interested in watching Chris Jericho's actual supposed reality TV show, based on the fact that he's not only is he a wrestler, but he's got a band, he's got other things going. There's going to be a lot of stuff you could do with Chris Jericho. I'm not sure. What are you going to do with Adam Cole and Britt Baker? What are you going to do? Sammy Guevara and his girlfriend, what are you going to do? I mean, I'd much rather see the veterans. Yeah, you're right, because they've got a body of work that you can say, oh, well, you know, if you're going to show Chris Jericho and all the things he does in his life, that could be interesting. If you're going to show Moxley and Renee Young in their life, that could be interesting. I'm not sure Adam Cole and Britt Baker get that same interest. I'm very sure Sammy Guevara is not going to. So we'll see how it goes. I mean, Todd, are you interested in watching something like this, or are you going to give it a pass?
I would, sort of give it a pass, you know. It just, like you said, I don't think wrestlers like that should put their personal things on TV, going in their personal lives up close and personal. I'll just stick to, like, to the just regular wrestling programming, like wrestling shows, like actual wrestling.
Now, obviously, they're replacing what did Cody Rhodes and Brandy have, some kind of show. So they're sort of just replacing that is what they're doing. I don't know. How many people watch Cody and Brandy? Not that many, right? How interesting could that have been? There are certain people that you're just like, I don't know if that's interesting. I think Mike hit on the one that would really make me say, I might watch that, and that's Jericho. Because there's just so much to Jericho. There's so much going on, and he's had such a body of work, and he knows so many people, and he's got other things outside of wrestling he does, and yeah, it would be interesting to see Jericho's lifestyle. I don't know if it's interesting to see Adam Cole's lifestyle. Is he that big of a star? Jericho is. Jericho is. So I don't know. We'll see, I guess. Now, the next thing we wanted to talk about is apparently the WWE had told Cameron Grimes that he's finishing up in NXT so he can start his main roster push. And now they're claiming that creative has nothing for him. This is not a good sign for Cameron Grimes. Last time this happened, I think, was Bronson Reed, and he got the can. Now he got hired back, but he got the can originally. I don't know what to say. If you don't have anything for Cameron Grimes, that's weird, because out of all of the people in NXT that was currently on that roster about his time, he was the one who had the biggest personality, really. He was the one that was sort of easy to write for, because he could do the bits pretty well, and he could play a character pretty well, and he had a unique look and a unique sound, and, you know, he was sort of easy to write for. He's a character. It's a pretty easy character. There are others now on the roster that have just as good potential for that, but back then that was about, he was one of the top ones. Him and Eli, right? Him and LA Knight. Well, you got LA Knight over here, and you can't think of anything for Cameron Grimes. How about renewing their feud? Or their partnership, whatever you want to do. You can't think of nothing for Cameron Grimes. So, Mike, I don't know. This is bad news for Cameron Grimes. I mean, he'd been sitting idle for a while thinking he was going to get his WWE push, and now he's being told creative has nothing.
Yeah, and that's the thing. I mean, you've got, I mean, this thing that they're doing with LA Knight and Bray Wyatt is coming to an end pretty soon, I would think. All right.
I imagine it's over, yeah.
So, right. So, I mean, what would stop you, if you're a writer, what would stop you from saying, okay, Cameron's coming up, LA, Cameron's coming up, we're going to do this story again, and we're going to bring in DiBiase again. I mean, you could redo that story, and then, or you could bring in DiBiase and have him unite them. You know,
yeah.
There are many things you could do with those two guys in a storyline.
See, here's the thing I do not like: if you've hired people at a very, very nice salary to create storylines for the wrestlers that you want to hire, and they come back and say, we have nothing, then instead of firing the wrestler, maybe you should fire the creative. Because there will never, ever be a time, if I was on that creative team, I don't care who you give me, I'll find something. That's my job. I'll find something. You want me to find something for top dollar? I'll find something for top dollar. You want me to find something for the maximum male models? I'll find something for them. You want me to find something for LA Knight? I'll find something for them. Give me the guy. I'll give you something. Because that's my job. I mean, did you ever go to, you know, to school? And when they said, did you do your report on whatever? And I, you know what? I couldn't think of anything. Sorry. Ah, you were supposed to write a story on. So, yeah, I know. I couldn't think of it. Well, guess what you're going to get? You're going to get an F. I don't understand this creative has nothing for you. What does that mean, even? It means they're all a bunch of idiots sitting in a room going, I can't think of nothing. Can you think of something? No. Who is he again? Cameron Grimes. Nope, got nothing. Okay, then quit. Because you should at least be able to submit about 8 ideas and say, well, here's what we came up with. You pick the best. You pick the one you like, and we'll run with it. You like this storyline, we'll do this, and we'll start writing in that direction. You like this one, we'll do this, and we'll start writing in that direction. It's up to you. Now, some people are saying, well, creative did do that, and these ideas were all Nick's. Well, if that's the case, and you can prove that, that creative came up with things, and they were shot down by higher-ups, if you can prove that, then fine, then it's the higher-ups' fault. Then if you truly see nothing, again, I say to the higher-ups, if you hired a group of writers and they come up with 8 ideas and you hate all of them, maybe you need a new group of writers. So either they're coming up with nothing and they are inept, or they're coming up with things and you don't like them, so you don't take them. But either way, then you need to fire them, because either they're not writing things that you consider quality, or they're not writing anything at all. And both of those are unacceptable. And again, it's not like you're bringing up, you know, someone who you say, oh, my God, like, can't even think of the guy. What was the guy's name? Gable. Not Chad Gable, the other guy. I don't know what you'd do with him. Remember when he was going to be a big star? Oh, can't wait to get him in here, Olympic gold medal wrestler, and whew, he's rough. But if you gave me the assignment to come up with something for him, you can rest assured I will. I'd sit down and talk to him. I'd get a feel for what he can and cannot do. If I don't think he can do a whole bunch of dialogue, I won't write a dialogue-type character much for him, because obviously that's going to fail. If I don't think he can play a certain type of character or a certain whatever, I'm not going to do that. If he just has to be himself, he has to be himself. Whatever it has to be, I will come up with something. More than one thing. Because that's my job. And if you don't like the things I come up with and you think they suck, then fire me. But don't fire him. Because that doesn't make any sense. Then technically you have the writers with the power to literally get somebody fired by simply blocking them and saying, I don't like that guy. Therefore, because I don't like that guy, I'm going to pretend I can't come up with anything, or I'll write a whole bunch of horrible things about him and they'll fire him. You can't give the writers that kind of control. I may not like a certain wrestler. My job is to write for him. I have to do the best I can for him. Not purposely sabotage him by saying, I can't come up with nothing, or writing a whole bunch of horrible stories. And management should be smart enough to know that and say, hey, man, if that's the best you can come up with, I can't keep you on the payroll. Or if you can't come up with anything, I can't keep you on the payroll. I mean, Tom, that's common sense.
Yeah, absolutely. And this seems to be a problem with the WWE. This hasn't happened. This is not the first time it's happened. And I think the guy that you were referring to, the Olympic gold, the gold medal wrestler, was Gable Steveson, I believe his name was.
Yeah, Gable Steveson. Yeah.
Yeah, they brought him in. Looked like they were going to feud him with Chad Gable, and they kind of just dropped it. That was something I was kind of looking forward to, and I'm sure, you know, to see what would come of it. And I'm sure other fans were too, and they just kind of dropped it. That is, you know, like, what happened? But
well, I'll tell you what happened. They found out he can't talk on the microphone. They found out he can't really do a character very well. And they, again, creative had nothing for him. Well, he doesn't have to do a character very well. You just have to write to his strengths and negate his weaknesses. If I had to write for a character and I said, oh, God, this guy is fantastic on the mic, but really not very good in the ring, maybe like an Enzo, then I give him a ton of dialogue, but not many major matches or anything that like, oh, I gotta push for him to be the champion. No, no, you don't write things like that. You write things that you're like, this is going to keep this guy on the mic where he's absolutely gold. He'll have his matches, but they don't need to be five-star matches. He'll just be here doing his spot, and that'll be fantastic. If he's great in the ring, but he can't speak, then you don't give him a whole bunch of wordy dialogue to say, and you don't say, well, I got this character who recites Shakespeare and does this, that, and the other thing, and he has to come in and do 18 minutes of dialogue. You don't do it. You got to be able to take a look at the person and judge what is it that they can do. What's their strengths? And what's their weaknesses? Let me accentuate the strengths that they have, and let me negate the weaknesses, Mike. That's a writer's job.
That is a writer's job. And think about this. Let's go back to Cameron Grimes, all right? Trevor Lee, Cameron Grimes, whatever you want to call him, right? The guy is, what, 29 years old, right? So he's got another good decade in the ring. He's good enough in the ring that he can get the job done. He's good enough on the mic that he can get the job done. So he's good enough on both things to get the job done. Other than the fact that he may be a little bit smallish, but you can say the same thing for people like, I don't know, Adam Cole and Shawn Michaels and stuff like that. But he's good enough, okay? And look, correct me if I'm wrong, Marcus. One of the last things that Triple H did before they took his baby away from him was what? Was the whole thing with Grimes and Eli and Drake, L.A. Knight and DiBiase? That was one of the last things that Triple H has done. If Triple H has a lot of power with the writers, and they're telling him that we can't find anything to do, then what Triple H should do with Cameron Grimes, then what Triple H should do is he should go to Vince and say, look, I had this, I did this, 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 this with Cameron Grimes, and these people can't tell, these writers that I have below me that are writers, they're telling me that they can't find anything to do with Cameron. We need to fire these guys. This is what Triple H should be doing right now. We should fire these guys if they can't find anything to do with Cameron Grimes.
Absolutely correct. I would have some sympathy if a writer is saying, I'm not sure what to do with Gable Steveson. You don't want to make him a heel. I get that. So we got to make him a face. He's not good on the mic, so he can't really talk that much. Who do we put him against? I guess we could put him against somebody like Gunther eventually, but then we really have to build up this America versus, you know, whatever. So if you're not cool with that, that's not good. And I don't know if he can connect with the fans quick enough. I would have a little sympathy. But you're not dealing with that. Cameron Grimes was given a whole bunch of dialogue and all kinds of things to do when he got Hillbilly Rich, if you remember. He was funny. He was engaging. He got the crowd on his side. The crowd was 100% on his side by the time he had his feud with L.A. Knight. He can do it. So it's not like you're giving a writer complete garbage and saying, and they're saying, oh, my God, what a mess. You got a body of work to reference and say, well, he did this very well. If he could do this very well, he could probably do this. I just hate the phrase, we got nothing for you creatively. That is called, we don't want you in our federation. That's the only thing I can think of. Because like Mike just said, Triple H knows what he can do. So if the writers are literally saying, we got nothing for him, then Triple H should say, well, then you're not very good writers. So I guess you need to find other employment. And if the writers are coming up with stuff and Triple H is saying, this is all garbage and it's not going to work, then the same rule applies. If that's how bad they are, put me and Mike and then everybody on this panel in a room with a pizza and a couple of bottles of root beer, and I guarantee you I'll come up with 500 things for Cameron Grimes to do. All of us will, and at least one of them you'll like. And we're not professional writers. So I'm sorry to say, Todd, they shouldn't take it out on the wrestler. They should take it out on the writer.
Oh, you're absolutely right there, like you said. With some of these writers, you know, every time they bring somebody up to the main roster or somebody is returning from an injury, we don't have nothing for you. You're just going to sit home or sit in the back at catering. That's what basically they're telling you.
That's exactly what they're telling you. I mean, when's the last time you saw Tamina Snuka or Dana Brooke or a lot of people? No, they got nothing. We don't know. We don't know what to do with them. Well, that is unacceptable. There would never be a time in my career as a WWE or any professional wrestling organization writer when I said, I don't know. I can't think of anything for them. Oh, give me a pen. I'll think of 50 things for them. Maybe you'll hate 49 of them, but maybe you'll like one. But my God, what kind of a writer says, I can't think of nothing? I ain't not much of a writer. It's just ridiculous. And by the way, this is the same company who has been doing a really great job of writing the Bloodline angle, where it's just fantastic, sensational. Now, maybe you have a certain team of writers on that you don't want to pull, and I understand that. You say, hey, you guys concentrate on this. It's working. But then where's your B-squad? I mean, that's what I would want to do if I owned a big wrestling federation. I would say I have my A-squad of writers for my top guys, but I have my B-squad of writers to keep my undercard fresh, because at any time I might want to move some guy from the undercard to the mid-card or even main event. We got to keep creating talent. If there's only so many times you want to see Drew McIntyre go for the title. Eventually, we want some undercard guys raised up. So we need a strong team of B-card writers. And, yes, of course, we need our top guys working on our A-guys. Absolutely. Apparently, the WWE doesn't have that, Tom, because Cameron Grimes, a guy who can use the microphone, can wrestle. Mike is right. He's a little small, but, I mean, Johnny Gargano's smaller than that. You got nothing for him?
Yeah, that's just called pure laziness. They obviously had something for him when they told him he was going to finish up in NXT, and then all of a sudden, look, it's just, you know, that's just lazy, and that's the writer's fault. That's not the wrestler's fault. And Triple H should honestly go, okay, well, come up with something. You got nothing for him? Go back in the room and come up with something. Because he's really good. Yes, he's small, but that doesn't matter. A lot of the guys are small. Johnny Gargano's small. What's his name? The Japanese guy. I can't think of his name off the top of my head.
There's a lot of guys
small?
That are smaller. I mean, Finn Balor. How much smaller do you want to be than Finn Balor? Cameron Grimes is bigger than Finn Balor. So it's not the size. It's that they're looking at it saying, well, what can he do? I don't know. I can't think of a story. Well, that's – or they're coming up with stories and the powers that be say they suck. I don't know which one it is. Either way, it's the writer's fault. It's not the performer's fault. We've said this a million times. You've seen good actors in bad movies. Well, whose fault is it? You can say the actor gave a bad performance, but, I mean, you're working with what you got. If you got lousy dialogue, then it's lousy dialogue. What do you want them to do with it? So, yeah, I mean, you've got to come up with something for these guys. I hate the phrase creative has nothing, because that is just a code word for we're not too thrilled with you anyway. We don't really see if you have any future here. That's kind of what that means. So I don't know. Maybe Cameron Grimes does not survive this news. Maybe he gets let go. That would be a shame, because you currently have people on your roster, both in NXT and WWE, who are not as charismatic, not as good on the mic, and probably not even as good in the ring. So I mean, how much charisma does certain people have in NXT? Little to none, a few of them. And there's a few in WWE that's pretty suspect as far as I'm concerned. So we'll see what ends up happening with that. So what are we going to see on SmackDown tonight? Well, this is going to be an important show. I cannot stress to you how important this show is going to be. We're going to really get a feel of whether the WWE can get Sami Zayn over in a different role. Can they get Sami Zayn over as a guy who's perfectly satisfied with just trying to destroy the bloodline from outside it and not go for the title? If they can, all right. But I don't want to see Roman Reigns show up and no chance of Cody and all chance of Sami Zayn, because that's a big problem. That's a huge problem. Now, you're probably going to see him address the Jey Uso situation. That's going to be interesting. Jey Uso has a ton of charisma. You got a problem with Jey Uso, but it's a good problem. And the problem is this. The logical storyline says Jey Uso needs to turn on Sami Zayn so that the Usos can fight Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens. That's the logic. But Jey Uso is so good at getting the fans on his side as a babyface. You're almost saying to yourself, do I want to kill that? We may have something here. Do I want to destroy that? Is there a way we can get the belts off him without doing this? But then if we don't have him fight Sammy and KO, how do we put an end to this story? You've got yourself a little tricky situation. Again, the logic says Jey Uso has to turn. But man, if I'm a writer, I'm saying to myself, guys, are we sure we want to do this? Because, man, Jey has really shown he can get the fans on his side, and the fans are really about him right now, and you could get a really good run with him, and are we really sure we want to do that? Because I don't know if you can come back from it once he goes back to the bloodline. I don't know if you can go back to it. So let's be careful. I'm very interested in how they handle this, Mike, because, like I said, there's logic, and then there's, yeah, but are we ruining something that could be lightning in a bottle?
Absolutely, and that's the thing. I mean, they had recently started to call him main event Jay again, right?
Yes.
And that was a big deal for a lot of, before all the rest of them showed up. That was a big deal, and they made that thing a big deal because he actually had some very good matches against Roman Reigns, and I think he beat him a time or two. But we got to see how they can. It's going to take a lot of finesse with this Jey Uso deal, a lot of finesse. And I'm not sure.
It really is, Mike, because think about this. What happens if I were to say to you, we want to go in a different direction, and Cody doesn't win at WrestleMania, and Jey Uso then decides to challenge to be the head of the table, saying, I wasn't ready at first when this first happened, but everything that's happened since then has led to this moment where you ain't representing. You're hiding behind people. You're trashing good people. You're using your own family to fight your battles. And I finally see who you really are. And you ain't the head of nobody's table. You're not the head of my table. You're not the tribal chief. I should take that position. Man, I don't know. I think you'd have an awful lot of people on Jey Uso's side. And remember, Sami Zayn said, I acknowledge you. He didn't acknowledge Roman. I could make a strong argument as somebody that was scripting wrestling that I could make a huge storyline out of that, Tom.
Yeah, and let's see if they run with it, because that would be brilliant. Leave it to Jey, because he's really good. And yeah, Sammy did acknowledge him, and he did have some great matches with Roman Reigns. I think that he would it would definitely be to the benefit to continue the Bloodline story and give it some more legs.
Yeah, that's one way to continue it. I mean, you know, Todd, they've got a lot of directions in which they can go. And that's always a positive thing. But they got to be careful because certain directions is going to dictate how fans react to a character for a long period of time. And right now, the one that I think is crucial, there's two that's crucial. One is Cody, and the other one, Sammy to an extent, but Jay especially.
Oh, you're absolutely right there. Like you said, for the last couple of weeks, we saw Jay Uso getting cheered by the fans. No boos, cheers. Last week, he came down to the ring through the crowd, and fans were going crazy for him. That's a face thing.
And, I mean, again, you could get a very good, almost a reverse storyline, Mike. Sometimes the best writing is when you reverse things. Remember, Jimmy Uso showed up and said, Jay, Roman's treating you like garbage. I'm not going to have my brother treated like this. And he was all about getting Jay away from Roman. But then he fell in. You could have it the opposite way now and have Jay say, listen, I've seen the light. You were right from the very beginning, Jimmy. Roman's just using us. Not the head of anybody's table. He's not the tribal chief. He's become a pampered coward who just hides behind us. Is this what we really want? And then you could have Jimmy be the one who's torn between, do I stay with Roman or do I side with my brother? There's so much you could do with that angle that I'm not so quick to toss that in the trash can by simply having Jay turn on Sammy.
And here's something else. If they're relationship wasn't so bad with Naomi, then you could have Naomi figure into this thing and side with Jay as a face and try to talk with Jimmy about this whole stuff, you know, and that's the deal. That's another angle. And here's something else to think about the writing thing. Before Bray Wyatt came back and Alexa Bliss was had just come back from an injury, and people were asking her, what's going on? Where are you? What did she say? What did Alexa Bliss say? She said, I'm being told that they have nothing for me.
Nothing for me, yeah. Tragic. Absolutely tragic. Yeah, listen, there's an argument to be made, a good, strong argument to be made. You could go in that direction. And the good news is this. I think the negotiations are softening a little bit. I know for a fact Naomi was in Canada. Now, of course, she's there to see her husband. But if she has such problems with the WWE, I don't know if she's backstage hanging out. I don't know. I got a feeling that things may soften very quickly there, very, very quickly. There's so much more to this Bloodline storyline you can tell, but you got to be careful. Because if at the end of it, it's just Roman loses to Cody, and then the Usos lose to KO and Sammy, that's about the end of the Bloodline story. Let's not be so quick to toss the Bloodline storyline in the garbage, because you still got some weight with Jey Uso maybe not being content with Roman, Jimmy being torn between the two. There's a lot of different storylines you can do. This is why I keep referring to soap opera writers. Soap opera writers, you can laugh at them all you want and say, oh, it's always the same thing. Somebody's dying. Somebody's cheating on somebody. Somebody's stealing money. Yeah, but they keep storylines going. And they're not just once a week. They're daily. Storylines going for a year. Just a little bit at a time. They're brilliant at what they do. They're brilliant at manipulating an audience to care about characters that do not really exist. And I would be very, very tempted, if I owned a wrestling federation, to hire at least one guy who had wrestling experience, but one person who had soap opera writing experience. Because combine the two, and that's kind of what wrestling is. And the Bloodline storyline is absolutely 100% proved that. So I'm not so quick to throw this out. And again, logic tells me Jay will turn on Sammy, and that's what's going to be KO and Sammy against the Usos at WrestleMania. But logic isn't always right. And if I were the WWE, I would think about it and say, what's next for Jay after this? He turns on Sammy, then loses the title. What happens then? Where does the Usos go from here? Where does the Bloodline go from here? Do you have Roman scripted to lose? Because then they've lost everything. If they've lost everything and then they come together as a face group and they become humble and realize everything we did was wrong, well, you just turn Jimmy heel. Or Jay heel, I mean. So I don't like that. I don't know. It's going to be very, very interesting to see. One other thing we wanted to mention is that the UK fans have been saying that Roman is not scheduled to be at the Money in the Bank, which was the big event that they're having in the UK. And, yeah, he's not. Roman's not doing any house shows. He's not doing some pay-per-views. He's working very limited schedule. And I know the UK fans are very disappointed. I get it. But I do think it's ironic. Because it wasn't just a couple of years ago that if Roman Reigns was the main event, everybody was saying, oh, God almighty, they're just handing another one to Roman. Oh, he's terrible. Oh, I don't like him. Oh, I'm just going to shut it off. And now you're butthurt that he's not going to be there. And remember what Show told you way back then. Roman's an excellent professional wrestler. He's very good on the mic. He has to be given proper storyline. He has to be given proper characterization. He's not being given any of that, and that's why it's failing. Because that was us, Mike, and I think, once again, we were proven right. Time proved us correct.
Time proved us correct as well, and that's the thing. It's always proved us correct. I mean, I've said it before. I've been listening. I've been going back and listening to some of our much older shows, and Lord knows, from the beginning of this show till now, we've said things that have basically 6, 8, 10 months later come true. You know, oh,
yeah.
You got to do this, this, and this. Well, this, and this has happened. So, yeah, I mean, we know ultimately Roman wants to go to do some stuff in Hollywood, right? Because The Rock is going to help him out and all that stuff. So at some point, he is going to have to lose that title. If it's to Cody, if it's to Jay, if it's to KO, whomever, he's going to have to lose so he can take the time off to go to do this stuff. So, yeah, we'll see what happens with this. Yeah, there's still more meat on that bone with the Bloodline.
There's a lot more meat on the bone. And, Tom, that's the thing. I'm not going to be so quick to toss this away yet when there's so much meat left on the bone.
Yeah, for sure. And you could push this way past WrestleMania and just keep it going because it's, you know, it's captivating every time they appear on TV. So, I'm interested to see what they do, and tonight is going to be an important show. I hope they go the right direction and don't blow it.
Tonight is going to be a very important show. We don't say that often, but I think SmackDown tonight is going to be a very important show, and we'll talk a little more about that on Sunday and see what transpires. Thanks for listening, folks. We'll see you on Sunday.
You're listening to Wrestling Chat Radio.